The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the May-June 2023 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin on page 8, Who's Who, third line. And we're going to start with Angel Reese, LSU Tigers, forward. Her height is 6'3". She was born May 6, 22. Hometown, Baltimore, Maryland. For the second straight season, Reese averaged a double-double, scoring 23 points and grabbing 15.4 rebounds per game as LSU won its first national title. Against Michigan in the second round, she had 25 points and 24 rebounds, the first time a player had that many points and boards in the same women's tournament game. Did you know, though, that LSU's Kim Mulkey is the only coach to win a women's title at two schools? She also won at Baylor. Jeff McNeil, New York Mets second baseman. His height is 6'1". His weight is 195 pounds. He was born April 8, 1992, hometown, Napoma, California. After a season in which he won the National League batting title with a .326 average, McNeil captured his first Silver Slugger Award. It was the fourth time in his five-season career that he hit 300. McNeil, who was a 12th-round draft pick in 2013, also made his second National League All-Star Team appearance in 2022. Did you know, though, that McNeil got his nickname, the Flying Squirrel, when he was in college at Long Beach State after he made several leaping catches in the outfield? Antoine Davis, Detroit Mercy Titans, guard. His height is 6'1". His weight is 165 pounds. He was born October 3, 1998, hometown, Birmingham, Alabama. In his fifth and final season with the Titans, Davis led the nation in scoring with an average of 28.2 points per game. He was named Horizon League Player of the Year and made the All-Conference team for the fifth time. Davis finished his career with 3,664 points, just three behind all-time leader Pete Maravich of LSU. Did you know, though, Davis and Maravich played college ball for their fathers? Mike Davis is Detroit Mercy's coach, while Maravich Tigers were led by his dad, Press. We're going to continue with the article, First Family. Ball in the Family. Shigel Alexander and McNeil Alexander Walker. Angel Reese and Jordan Hawkins aren't the only cousins excelling in the same sport. Robinson Cano and Yermin Mercedes always considered Robinson Cano his favorite player, but he didn't always realize he was family. Cano, whose full name is Robinson Jose Cano Mercedes, called Yermin when the younger Mercedes was coming up through the minor leagues. After comparing notes, they realized the shared name was not a coincidence. Lamar Jackson and James Pierre. Lamar Jackson actually has three cousins in the NFL, Adoree Jackson, Trayvon Mullen, and James Pierre, who are all cornerbacks. Most quarterbacks scan the field hoping to throw to a familiar face. Jackson has to be careful not to. It's especially fraught when he's playing the Steelers. Pierre was one of his wide receivers growing up. Mark Leiter, Jr., and Jack Leiter. Brothers Mark and Al Leiter were both Major League Baseball pitchers in the 1990s, and now their sons are close to a similar feat. Mark Jr., age 32, is a reliever for the Cubs. Jack, who is 10 years younger, is a top prospect in the Rangers system. If Jack can make it to the big league soon, they should have many good years facing off, just like their dads. Sarah Nurse and Darnell Nurse. The Nurse family is full of superstars. Darnell is Edmonton's top defenseman. His sister Kaya won NCAA championships in basketball and played for the Seattle Storm. Their cousin Sarah won an Olympic gold in hockey with Team Canada and appeared in the cover of NHL 23. And all three of them have Donovan McNabb for an uncle. Twin titles. The cousins both dealt with injuries as freshmen. Angel bounced back to have a huge sophomore year, averaging a double-double, the first Maryland women's player to do so since 1975. But following the season, she decided to transfer to LSU, where she thought she'd be a better fit. Last year, her first with the Tigers, she led the team in scoring, 23 points per game, and rebounding, 15.4, as LSU rolled to its first national title. Jordan, meanwhile, elevated his game as a sophomore for the Huskies. Just having one college season under his belt made a world of difference. It got a lot easier, he says. I started to slow down. He also became a focal point of the UConn offense. He knocked down 109 three-pointers, 12th in the country, and made half of his 42 attempts from behind the arc in the NCAA tournament. It wouldn't be March, okay, April, without a little madness, though. This year, it came in the form of a controversy over a hand gesture. In the title game, Angel did the "You Can't See Me" move, popularized by wrestler John Cena, in the direction of Iowa's Caitlin Clark. She was widely criticized for it, but not by Clark, who had done the same thing earlier in the tournament. Clark, who is white, didn't received nearly as much grief. An Angel, who pointed out the double standard of women being criticized for ultimately harmless trash talking while in the men's game, it simply accepted. These are issues that needed to be raised, says Angel, who wants to empower young girls to speak out. A lady came up to me at a store and thanked me for doing what I did because she said her daughter never had a voice. It's bigger than me. I mean, I didn't do it for the publicity and to go viral. It really came from my heart, and that's what I felt. I know a lot of people feel the same way. Between her performance on the floor, she was named most outstanding player of the Final Four, and the notoriety that came with the gesture controversy, Angel became one of the most recognizable faces in all of basketball. She had 70,000 followers on Instagram before the tournament. That number is well north of a million. And she was getting mobbed on campus to the point that she started taking all of her classes virtually. After playing with USA Basketball this summer, Angel will head back to Baton Rouge once she tries to make a page out of her cousin's book. I need to work on my perimeter shot, being able to hit the 15-foot shot. Things have been hectic for Jordan as well. After he declared for the draft, he's generally considered the best pure shooter available. He began working out in Los Angeles. He's not as scrawny as he was when Angel used to push him around on the court, but he is still trying to bulk up. He's also working on improving off the dribble. Despite their whirlwind schedules, the cousins have been able to see each other a couple of times since they cut down their respective nets. They haven't been able to celebrate with their extended family yet, but rest assured, they will. And when they do, Jordan said it best. Moments after UConn's win, the cookout gonna be lit. Hall of Cool, class of 2023. See here pictures of different icons. Muhammad Ali, Marshawn Lynch, Chloe Kim, Megan Rapinoe, LeBron James, Tony Hawk, Ichiro, James Harden's beard, Miami Heat Vice jerseys, Y Sports, Wii Sports. For the first inducted to the Hall of Cool Class of 23, the Treehouse staff is proud to present legendary heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali. Ali's contribution to not only the sport of boxing, but his political activism and diabolical wit make him one of the coolest figures to adorn these hallowed halls. About time. Let's get more cool cats to induct. Let's go. Also, Simone Biles, Ken Griffey Jr., T-Shirt Cannon, Doris Burke, Hank the Dog, Seafood on the Ice, The Stanford Tree. It would We finally finished construction on a new wing of the Hall of Cool. Behold your new inductees. Muhammad Ali, the greatest. It would be self-serving to say that Sports Illustrated is the ultimate arbiter of what's cool, but would a lame person appear on 40 different SI covers? I don't know, maybe. But what about being on the cover of Superman comic? Ali famously squared off against the Man of Steel in 1978, issue and won. It might be more accurate to say Superman appeared on the cover of Muhammad Ali, all comic. When a movie came out about the heavyweight champ's career in 1977, the only guy cool enough to play Ali was himself. Cry of turn. In the 1960s and 70s, the Netherlands became known for playing what was called total football. It was a fluid system of soccer in which players shifted from position to position. At its heart was the versatile Johan Cruyff, who had many lethal moves, including one that was named after him. He'd fake a pass in one direction, then seamlessly drag the ball behind his plant leg and do a reverse spin, leaving his defender tied up in knots. Somehow, Cruyff's Dutch teams failed to win a World Cup, but never has the beautiful game been played more beautifully. Cool Papa Bell. Let's get this out of the way. Cool Papa Bell was not his given name, so clearly we're not the first people to deem him cool. Born James Thomas Bell, the Negro League's legend earned the nickname for his ability as baseball's fastest center fielder. Follow HOC member Satchel Paige, once famously described Bell as being able to turn off the lights and be in bed before the room got dark. Another time, Paige said of Bell, "He hit a line drive right past my ear. I turned around and saw the ball hit him, sliding into second." Secretariat, the Iron Horse. We don't need to make his case for the Hall of Great. Secretariat didn't just win the Triple Crown 50 years ago. He still holds the speed record for all three races. But is he cool? Well, animals have personalities, and Secretariat had all the qualities of our favorite human athletes. A clown. In his younger days, he was also a patient teammate for jockey Ron Turcotte. Still, he seemed competitive, standing deep in his stall after losses, which he always avenged next race. Seven Nation Army. Da 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 da. Even if you don't know the song, you've probably heard it at a game, whether over the PA or sung by its fans. It's Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes. Mind you, no one sings the words, just the guitar riff. It took off in Italy, where soccer fans serenaded Roma players, including Captain Francesco Totti. "I can't get the pop-pop-pop-pop-poo-poo-poo out of my head," Totti said. I quickly went out and bought one of the band's albums. Michaela Schifrin. Sometimes the stats themselves are cool. Barry Bonds had a .609 on-base percentage in 2004. Wayne Gretzky had 92 goals and 120 assists in 1981-82. At just 28 years old, Schifrin has 14 world championship medals, the most of any modern skier, to go along with her 88 World Cup wins, an Alpine record, and three Olympic medals. She's the closest thing to a superhero in the real world, reaching impossible speeds in a highly engineered red, white, and blue suit. Schifrin likes to play down the GOAT label, but at a celebration of her World Cup record, she was given an actual GOAT, which she named the literal GOAT. Current members, 2021, Michael Jordan, Inside the Park Home Runs, Jeremy Yager, Becky Hammon, Throwback Jerseys, Nachos. Babe Dietrichson Zaharias, multi-sport GOAT. In the interest of saving time and ink, it might be easier to list the things Babe Dietrichson Zaharias didn't do. But here's an abbreviated list of her accomplishments. She's in the Golf Hall of Fame. She won Olympic medals in running, throwing, and jumping events. No one else has done that. She pitched in 3 Major League Baseball spring training games. She even recorded music, and she did it all at a time when sports were considered male territory, inspiring generations of girls to compete. Fake kicks. As a rule, triggeration is awesome. Hidden ball trick, love it. And off the back inbounds pass and hoops, great. But no play in sports is more exciting than the fake kick. For starters, it's usually a surprise. And it involves asking someone, often a punter or a kicker, to come in cold and run the ball or throw a pass, often after a convoluted setup. In other words, it might lead to a huge play or it might lead to an even bigger disaster, and that's where the fun lies. Mario Kart. In 2018, when Brad Hand was traded from the Padres to Cleveland, he tweeted he was excited to meet his new teammates. One of them, Jose Ramirez, cut to the chase, responding, "Do you play Mario Kart? The old-school classic game is a perfect mix of zaniness and racing, and few are better at it than Ramirez. He knows every shortcut, every alleyway," former teammate Mike Clevenger said. "Places I've never even seen, and I've been playing that game since I was 6. Ghost Fork Glove. Hurlers have made the jump from Japan to Major League Baseball with rumored mysterious super pitches before. Daisuke Matsusaka's gyro ball turned out to hardly even exist. But even the name gyro ball pales in comparison to Kodai Senga's signature ghost fork, a fork ball that drops out of the bottom of the zone. Senga clearly has a sense of humor, or is a branding genius. Despite his nerves in his debut, my legs felt like a ghost. Senga looked cool on the mound with a custom glove showing a ghost holding a trident. Current members in the Cool of Fame? 2022, the Williams sisters, Clay's headband, James Harden beard is out. Greg Popovich, Joe Namath, the 99ers, NFL Blitz, the famous chicken. And here on page it has the variety, page 49, all of the different stars. Buzz Beamer. "I'd like to announce that I'm nominating myself into the class of 23 as well." "You can't do that. Nominating yourself, very uncool." The Knuckleball, Diego Maradona, Satchel Paige, Powder Blue Jerseys, Deion Sanders, and Inside the NBA are all members of the Hall of Cool. Congratulations to all. Summer McIntosh, swimmer. Full head of speed. After hitting her stride in 2022 and 2023, McIntosh will be a force to be reckoned with that next summer at the Olympics. The teenage phenom from Canada, who has 2 world championship golds and a pair of world records, goes all out all the time, except when learning to drive. Earlier this year, a 16-year-old girl from Toronto was in a car with her mother learning to drive. Because the girl was Summer McIntosh, a history-making Olympic swimmer, the event was being filmed by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Near the start of the video, McIntosh's mom, Jill, tells her, "Go, go, just go. You can keep your speed up a little bit." It's possible the first time Summer has needed to be told to go faster. Her swimming coach once described her as all gas, no brakes, and her all-out approach in the pool, in training, and in races has McIntosh positioned to one day become a swimming's biggest star. The person who currently holds that title is Katie Ledecky, who owns 10 Olympic medals and 16 world records. Until March, Ledecky also had an interesting streak going. She hadn't lost a 200-meter freestyle race in the United States in 9 years. When the run started, McIntosh was 7 and not even into competitive swimming. But in March in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, she was the one who brought the streak to an end, beating Ledecky by 0.83 of a second. Granted, the 200-meter freestyle is not Ledecky's best event. She dominates longer distances, but it's not McIntosh's specialty either. And as McIntosh pointed out after the race, she's the greatest freestyle of all time. Beating her at any distance was no small feat, and it was only a taste of what was to come later in the spring. At the National Swim Trials in British Columbia, McIntosh became the youngest Canadian to set women's world record, shaving one-third of a second off Ariane Titmus's mark. 4 days later, swimming in her best event, the 400-meter individual medley, she knocked nearly a half a second off a world record that had stood for 7 years. In a video of the race, McIntosh is often the only swimmer in the frame, at least the only one going in her direction. Her margin of victory was 14 seconds. On the deck of the pool afterwards, she said with a laugh, "It's always nice to set world records. Given the way she's swimming and her ethic, the next several years are shaping up to be very nice." Picture of Miss McIntosh doing the butterfly effect. McIntosh strength in all four strokes, back, breast, butterfly, and freestyle makes her especially dangerous. Teen idols. Swimming has historically given the sports world its share of young stars. Here are three of the brightest. Donna De Verona, California. She was an Olympian at 13, on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 14. At 17, De Verona dominated the 400-meter individual medley at the 1964 Games, then returned to embark on a successful career as a journalist. Michael Phelps, Maryland. If you're going to amass 28 Olympic medals and a staggering 39 world records, you have to get an early start. Phelps won his first world championship at 15 and his first six, yes, we said six, gold medals when he was just 19. Kitty Ledecky, Maryland. Ledecky burst onto the scene as a 15-year-old at the 2012 Olympics, winning the 800-meter freestyle by 4 seconds. Now, 26, she's still going strong. She won 4 gold medals at the 2022 Worlds, where she won the 1,500-meter freestyle by 14 seconds. Long road up. Jill swam in the 1984 Olympics for Canada, but when her daughters were young, they were more into skating than swimming. Summer's older sister, Brooke, still skates competitively. Summer skated as well, but ultimately the all-gas kid preferred the racing aspect of swimming to performing for judges on the ice. Before long, it was apparent she had a gift for the pool. Her dream of competing in the Olympics was born in 2016 when, as a 9-year-old, she attended the Canadian Olympic trials and first bumped the team members on the pool deck. At the time, the most optimistic scenario would have seen her make her Olympic debut in 2024, because at 2020 Tokyo Olympics, she'd be only 13. But then the COVID-19 pandemic forced the Olympics to be postponed for a year. During those 12 extra months, she improved enough to make the Canadian team. Her coaches had low expectations. McIntosh had different ideas, narrowly missing out on a pair of medals with fourth-place finishes. From there, she won 2 golds at the 2022 World Championships last summer. As she's ascended to loftier heights in her sport, she's seen her life change. Her family still lives in Canada, but she trains in Sarasota, Florida, while taking classes online. She doesn't mind, though. Her closest friends have always been other swimmers. As she explained on the Inside with Brett Hawk podcast last fall, "I really liked it that way, to be surrounded by people who get what it's like to be an athlete, a high-performance athlete, especially a swimmer, getting up in the mornings and having to go to bed early. They just understand it, and we're all in the same boat. And it's not like her busy training schedule doesn't leave McIntosh time to do things like shop, check out TikTok, and keep up with the exploits of reality stars. The things other 16-year-olds do. She's successful and happy, and she's mature enough to know those two things go hand in hand." As McIntosh said after her record-breaking performance, As long as I'm having fun, that's how I'm going to reach my full potential. End zone, what's the call? Buzz's batters are playing Whitney's winners in baseball under Major League Baseball rules. To lead off the game, Buzz hits a ground ball sharply to Kip, who is playing shortstop on the winners. Kip makes a high throw to Whitney at first, who jumps up and bats the ball out of the air. As Buzz reaches the base, Whitney is juggling the ball between her mitt and throwing hand. Ultimately, she secures possession without the ball ever hitting the ground. Buzz thinks he's safe since she was still bobbling the throw when he reached the base. What's the call? What's the call? Buzz is safe. The first baseman has to demonstrate control of the ball when touching the base to get the runner out. All right, next we have number two, checkmate. In a lacrosse game between the Richmond Rooks and the Bloomington Bishops, Richmond's Michelle Cajaro drops the ball with Bloomington's Cheryl McFadden guarding her closely. As they both go for the ground ball, Cheryl clearly has a better position. Unable to reach the ball, Michelle decides her best bet is to stop Cheryl with the hope that another Rook will be able to swoop in and grab it. As Cheryl goes to scoop up the ball, Michelle checks Cheryl's stick out of her hand. Cheryl complains that Michelle can't check her if she doesn't have the ball. Can she? And we will find that answer out next week. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. We'll be right back.